ABC News.
Joining us in the studio is paediatric specialist Dr. Nadia Badawi. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You're with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance. Before we get to the figures, just give me an idea of the effects of this condition on sufferers.
Yes, so it's the most common physical disability of childhood, and it affects a child's movements. And they can vary from being quite severe, so a child would be in a wheelchair, and it is lifelong, so adults as well, be in a wheelchair and completely dependent on family for all the activities of daily living. But it can also then seem fairly mild physically, so someone might, half of their body might be paralyzed, they might have a limp, some weakness in their hand. But what it's complex, because some people can also have intellectual disability, epilepsy, deafness, vision problems.
So it's been a very significant condition here, hasn't it?
It is a very important condition and has an overlap with other conditions such as epilepsy, autism, and ADHD.
Now, we mentioned at the start that the severity of this condition has eased in that time. Can you tell us why
yes.
that is?
That's been really marvellous. So not only are we getting a drop in the rate by a third, so when 10, 15 years ago, when the register started, the Australian Cerebral Palsy Register, we were saying figures of 1 in 500 live births. Now the figures that we're reporting today are 1 in 700 live births, a really dramatic decrease. And that's all wonderful, but for those people who are still being born with cerebral palsy, the great news is that the severity is decreasing. So a child who's born with cerebral palsy in the current era is more likely to be able to walk, more likely to be able to talk, less intellectual disability, less likely to have epilepsy. And this is really important.
Now, in recent times, I remember that pregnant women have been advised to take folic acid to prevent conditions such as this.
Yes, so folic acid, there isn't a clear link between folic acid and cerebral palsy, but you're right. It is an incredibly important thing because it decreases the risk of spina bifida and maybe some other birth defects as well. And we actually know that people who have cerebral palsy are more likely to have birth defects. So definitely that folic acid story is incredibly important.
So there's no effect
not a direct link.
Now, as well as the decline in the condition, the severity is also eased, as we've mentioned.
Yes.
That's great news for those with the condition and their parents in particular. Yes. You must be seeing that all the time.
Yes, and you know, one of the great things is that families of people with cerebral palsy and people who have cerebral palsy, one of their main aims is to prevent other people. People are so generous, aren't they? You know, it's one of the things you notice. People say, I don't want this to happen to someone else. So they've been behind this research and they've been behind the Australian Cerebral Palsy Register.
You're obviously very passionate about
yes.
this. What about the likelihood of a cure? I don't know if it's too high to put it at that level.
Look, when we started, we were talking about prevention of cerebral palsy, and even that was thought to be a crazy dream. And in fact, we now know that with good research and with health professionals working around Australia together to help those babies who are preterm, because about 40% of people with cerebral palsy are born prematurely. So we can now help mothers who are going into preterm labor by giving them a drug called magnesium sulfate, giving them steroids to help protect the baby. And then we also know that for that small group of babies who have a lack of oxygen around the time of birth, then cooling them can also decrease their risk of cerebral palsy. We know there's some genetic factors. About 30% of people with cerebral palsy have a genetic factor. Infections. So while all this prevention work is happening, of course we know that people are looking for a cure. 80% of people with cerebral palsy and their families want researchers to look for a cure. And I don't want to peddle false hope, but we are looking into it because we know that hundreds of families around Australia are seeking unproven, expensive, and maybe dangerous stem cell treatment in places all around the world. So we actually are embarking on some ethical, free stem cell trials in Australia. And we've had some funding from the government to do that. So yes, we are looking for a cure, but I'm not promising it's around the corner.
Sure. Before we let you go, you're obviously, as I mentioned, very passionate about this, yes. and you've been involved in it for a long time. Mm-hmm. What's the singular piece of advice you give to families faced with this condition?
If it happens, then we hope, first of all, that it can be detected early. So one of the things we found from our register, unfortunately, is that only 20% of babies who will later be diagnosed with cerebral palsy are diagnosed in the first months. That means they're missing that maximum period of brain growth and neuroplasticity. So if parents are suspicious, please go to reliable sources. Get an early diagnosis so you can get the best goal-directed, so active treatment and intervention for your baby. There are now lots of really first-rate trials around Australia because we now have new information and that can help the baby. The NDIS hopefully will also help families.
Yep.
And I would always say, read with your baby. We know that stimulating babies, improving their cognition, will also help in all their development.
Dr. Badawi, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
That's Dr. Nadia Badawi, who is a paediatric specialist. She's with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance.
ABC News.